Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, July 3rd, and we've got a lot of announcements to get through today. The NFL announced changes to what may be teams' training camp rosters. We're going to have the details, but I'm going to be joined by two special guests. You'll be able to welcome back Joshua Taylor of KDKA TV from Channel 2 here in Pittsburgh, our local CBS affiliate. And for the first time, we're going to be introducing the sports producer for Channel 11 WPXI, the NBC affiliate here in Pittsburgh, Dean Iampietro. The three of us dig into the national stories that are going on around the NFL involving player rosters. Some changes to the NFL that they're planning to make to honor racial justice in America, and a push to change the name of the Washington Redskins by a minority owner and the company which their stadium is named after. All that and more in the first segment. Then, of course, it's Fantasy Draft Friday. You all requested it, so back by popular demand, we're doing a second go-round on all-time great sports movies. The three of us, Josh, myself, and Dean, pick our top sports movies, five rounds, where we put together our list. You can vote for the winner, for who you think won, on the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which you can find by going to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group, and I'll add you as soon as possible. Voting goes from Friday morning all the way till Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're enjoying the Locked On Steelers podcast, please subscribe to us. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted, and on top of that, can leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps out the show. Let's get into it. Today's show is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, everyone, we have made it to the end of the week. It is Friday, and not just any Friday, it's the Friday before the 4th. I hope you got some great weekends planned, and you got some partying going on, you got some grilling going on, everyone doing it safely, putting your masks on and everything, but I hope everyone's got some good plans to relax and enjoy their weekend. Maybe you're already getting a long weekend going on right now, and you're kicking it with us. We thank you for joining us here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You guys know me, I'm Chris Carter, but today we got two guests. You guys know and remember my good friend, Joshua Taylor from KDKA TV. Josh, how you doing, my man? Thanks for coming back on the show.
Always good to talk to you, Chris. It's kind of strange. We might actually have some sports peeking through the cracks here, assuming that nothing else goes crazy with the Pirates working out this weekend. But yeah, we might actually see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel here.
Absolutely. And introducing, for the first time, making his debut on the Locked On Steelers podcast, the sports producer at WPXI Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh, the one, the only, Dean Iampietro.
How you doing? Many people would say it's a good thing it's the one and only. You might have said that to me a few times, in fact. So, but I'm glad to be here, glad to talk some sports. And yeah, Josh, you're right, man. Let's see that light at the end of the tunnel. Let's get some sports back.
I agree, fellas. Sports coming back. It seems like we're so close. I hope nothing derails it. NHL's really close. Basketball's getting there. Baseball's getting there. The Pirates are practicing again. Like, there's at least some semblance that we can begin to talk about things. But there's been some news today on the NFL front that's interesting. Now, Adam Schefter released this report that we're going to lead off with here in the opening segment, that the NFL is considering shrinking the roster size, the amount of players that are going to be allowed to come to training camp. Now, it's apparently, from what I've seen reported, it has not been confirmed just how small that's going to be yet. The owners are still working on that. But Adam Schefter is saying that, hey, you know what? It might be, it might not be 90, it might be 80, it might be 70. But teams trying to shrink it down, they're saying even possibly 75. No, but no one is expecting 90. Overall players coming to camp. I'm going to lead with Josh here. Josh, what kind of impact do you think this is going to have on training camp, if anything at all? Because what everyone's going to be thinking is, oh, those are just camp bodies.
Yeah, that is kind of the general – I think that'll be the general reaction for a lot of people. I think the people that it affects the most are those guys who are the camp bodies, who are trying to become, you know, those guys on the fringe of the roster, trying to snag one of those last two roster spots open. So it is going to affect those guys. And maybe those – special teams aces or those return specialists that might have not had a shot otherwise, you know, that maybe could have had a hope of being on the roster by having an extended little group. Maybe those guys get weeded out a little bit earlier than we expect. So that is kind of a drawback. I think the other people who lose in this equation are us folks in the media. We got less guys to talk about now because we love to find those fun training camp stories. That guy who probably didn't have a snowball's chance, but he's at least hanging in there to the final cut, trying to be that guy on the roster, the two-star skipper type of guy that we like to have stories about. So we kind of lose in that one too. So poor luck for us media schlubs. But I think the folks who win are the coaches, because those are 20 or so decisions they don't have to make. Because you hear Mike Tomlin talk about it. He says, look, one of the toughest times of training camp is when they have to make those decisions of which guys they're going to keep and which guys they're going to let go, because there's some bodies in camp that you don't want to let go so early. Or some of those guys, when it comes down to the last cuts, that, you know, could be good for your roster, but you just don't have enough space for them, and then they become good on someone else's roster. So I think the coaches win as far as, you know, not having to make as many difficult decisions, but I think the players themselves and the media are the ones that probably lose out the most.
I agree there. I think that that's absolutely where, you know, we're going to be losing out. But I also have to think, how many times have we seen players become beloved because they were able to they got the invites to camp, and then they were able to hang on and make a name for themselves? You can think of players, viewers that made it, was the Brett Keisels, right, the Will Parkers, you know, mm-hmm, over the years of Eli Rogers for a little bit. Mike Hilton would certainly be on that list. You have to think that this might impact people. Dean, when you heard this news, what was it? What were you thinking? Like, you, were you thinking, yeah, because you're for everyone who doesn't know, Dean literally is the producer. When I work at WPXI, I'm working with Dean. He is the guy that's calling the shots and making everything look pretty and run smoothly at Channel 11 here in Pittsburgh. So Dean, you see this from the producing side. What was your reaction like? Is this a good thing? Is this a meh thing? Or do you think like, oh man, this stinks?
I think that anything that shortens a roster or shortens even a preseason or anything else kind of just gives me a little bit of a pause. Like, is the NFL just kind of delaying what could be the inevitable in a delay of a season? Like we had mentioned with Willie Parker, of course, you know, I think about, you know, there's that guy. Who's that guy that would have come up and maybe impressed them? But if you only have two preseason games, you may not be able to do that anyway. Like, we did an interview last year with Duck Hodges, and no one knew who he was. No one, you know, he ended up being a quarterback for a while. In this scenario, a guy like that doesn't even get a chance. And I think it's a shame for those players. But I think what this really highlights is this is going to show which teams were really prepared more with their rosters and not relying as much on draft picks or on free agents. The ones that have a veteran core, the ones that are together. When the Steelers didn't have as many draft picks as anyone else at this point, I was like, that's a good thing, because they don't have to bring people in teaching them on Zoom how to play football their way. Yeah. You know, so if you have people who know your system, you're in a better position, even with a lower roster number, and so that the coaches can just focus on getting the system in with the players that they already know.
No, I agree that's definitely something that we have to consider here, because all the players already, you know, Mike Tomlin's been talking about there, you know, they're going to lean on the guys that have the experience and, you know, aren't going to have as big of a learning curve. That's going to put a lot of pressure on these young guys coming in. And here's another thing is, if there's less of them, you know, that's also less guys that you really get to go up against in camp that can kind of give you your first reps that make you feel more comfortable. Because sometimes the coaches, they'll put you up, like when you're a young guy, they'll initially put you up against the stars and let you know, hey, welcome to the league. But then when you get to go up against those guys that you know aren't making the team, that's a chance where you can kind of get your feet together, you know, not feel as much pressure because the guy in front of you isn't a professional or a star just yet. I think there's a lot of repercussions that this could have, positive and negative for the league. I'm right with you, Dean. You know, it does raise the eyebrow, thinking like, hey, you know what? And I talked about this yesterday on the show with them cutting the preseason in half. You know, what does this mean? Now, I still think this is just the NFL. They would much prefer to push back the start than to start and then have to stop. So. Yeah.
A start and a stop would be a disaster. Yeah, that would be a disaster for any sport right now. I mean, think about how we feel right now. about going with the closure that happened in Allegheny County this week for one week. Think about how we feel about that. And nobody likes that, regardless of the reason. And now you start a sport and then you have to stop it. Man, that is just not going to go. So they've got to approach it with an abundance of caution. And if lowering the roster one time does that, okay. I hope that's not a permanent thing. I would hope that they would go back to the normal numbers next year, even if the preseason ends up with fewer games. But I think this year, you know, there's kind of are no rules and everyone's figuring it out as they go. And if that's what needs to happen to make it more efficient and to make it safer with fewer people there, then go ahead and do it.
I agree.
Dean, I gotta add this. And the reason why I think it's such a big deal for the NFL to not start and stop and have to start all over again is because they don't want to slow the momentum of doing that. And why don't they want to slow the momentum? Because they don't want to slow the influx of money. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid ourselves. The one thing all these leagues have in common? They love to get money. And if they have to turn that faucet off, they don't want to turn it back on again because they don't want to see drips as opposed to a constant flow. So I'd have to agree with that wholeheartedly.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of types of cars, it's impossible for places to keep all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure the pointless and seemingly intimidating questions that you'll get when you go into a store like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait for the counterman to order parts on his computer, and then choosing the only brand that his warehouse happens to carry. You can skip all that. Go to a computer at your own house or your own phone that's in your pocket and go to rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And then go and write Locked On for in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
I think that's very pertinent. Now, one last thing before we – well, two last little quick notes here that have happened – just on the NFL, as far as things that continue to change with their response to social and racial justice in the United States. For one, apparently FedEx, the company, and they own the rights. They're on the name. They're the team that the company that has their name on Washington Redskins Stadium. Mm-hmm. They have requested formally and publicly for the Redskins to change their name. And they said, quote, we have communicated to the team in Washington that our request that they change their team name, which is a pressure that people have had for a very long time, as the term Redskin is a racial slur. And people have, you know, overlooked it. Snyder hasn't really responded to it. I thought that was interesting. And then on the same day, the NFL comes out with an announcement that they're planning to allow players to wear patches that honor victims of police brutality in the U.S. if they choose to do so. And on top of that, before the opening games of the season, they are going to play in the stadiums Lift Every Voice and Sing, which for those who don't know is the Black national anthem of the country. It's a legendary song that's often been been part of the civil rights movement, and it's been a song of pride where Black Americans have long looked to for just for pride, for honor, and for, you know, reverence to the history of our coming up in this country. So I know I packed a lot in there, but I wanted to get thoughts from you guys before we cut to our first commercial break. I'm gonna lead with Dean. You see this information, you see all this stuff happening, all this change happening. What's going through your mind?
I think that, you know, these are changes that are, that there's a part of it that's long overdue, and part of it that I hope is not just to appease the moment. I hope that it's real.
Right.
I want it to be real. And like, now starting with the Redskins, the biggest factor in that to me isn't, it goes even beyond FedEx, the sponsor making that request. The CEO of FedEx is a minority owner of Washington. So that's big deal. That is a big deal. And that is maybe the tipping point that's going to force the hand to change the name. And I hope that happens. And as far as the national anthem goes, I think that's a great idea. I think that helps with exposure. I mean, to be honest, I'll be perfectly candid. I did not know that that song was the Black National Anthem. And now I know. Now I'm going to hear it. Now I'm going to be a little bit more educated than I've been trying to be over the last few months, especially. And so I think the more exposure we get to things that can help provide unity, hopefully will have a positive impact. And then I hope that they're real and the NFL continues to follow up on it with real effective change.
Agreed. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Man, Dean stepped all over my toes.
He had sorry, buddy.
But you know what? He's nailing it. And I thought the exact same thing. If it's just something they're doing just to save face, then I'm not going to look at it the same. But if this is something that leads to something real, then I'm wholeheartedly behind it. I think Dean absolutely hit that on the head. And as far as the Redskins thing is concerned, I'll go back to my same statement that I made about the league having to start and stop and start all over again. You know who likes money just as much as the league? The teams themselves. And if the team itself has a chance of losing money, they're not going to want to go along with that. They're going to try to do whatever it takes to prevent any kind of losses from happening. But I don't think it would just be a monetary loss for the Redskins. I think it'd be a huge PR hit for the Redskins. I think it would be a big disaster with their fan base, considering where they're located and how many people support that team. So there's a lot on the line there for the Redskins. I'm really intrigued. I'll keep a close eye on how that turns out, because we've seen Daniel Snyder do some really stubborn things in the past, not only with the name of the team, just with how he runs his own team and to his own detriment. But I'm keeping a really close eye on how that goes. As far as Lift Every Voice and Sing, and Chris, I don't know how much you can relate to this if you grew up in the church also, but I can remember as a kid, my big sister singing Lift Every Voice and Sing a couple different times during church services as a kid. So that's a song that has a deep root in my own personal experience. I think it's an awesome thing. I hope the players really had something to do with that. I really didn't really know the origin of it, but I'm hoping that the players had something to do with it. And I hope it's received really, really well, because it's one thing to just, like Dean said, like if you're just saying it because it represents the moment, then the moment's going to go and it'll be a fleeting thing. But if you really want to capture what your players, what your players union, which is the majority of players make up that players union being Black players, if you really want to get the pulse of what these guys are saying, you got to find a way to relate to them. And I've been saying that for a long time now, and it seems like they're finally building that bridge or mending that fence, so to speak, to where the players can say, you know what, this is really how we feel about this, and this is really how we want to make our emotion seen. So if that is the case, I'm totally all for that.
You're absolutely right, Josh. And they have to keep working on that bridge after that first game.
Absolutely.
They have to keep working on it through this season, through next season, and it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. The work always continues.
Wow, look at this. You guys did such a good job. I thought I was going to come in here and say all these things. Wow, I'm going to say something. But look, I'm so proud of both of you. Look at this.
Thank you, sir.
But one thing I'll say on the Redskins bit is that someone put a great idea, and I shared this on my Twitter. I urge you guys to go check it out on my Twitter, at Carter Critiques. Someone posed an idea of a logo change and a team change name. They said, just change the name to, instead of Redskins, Red Tails. And you'd have a picture of a fighter plane going over it. Of course, this would honor the Tuskegee Airmen, who were the first Black pilots in the ever allowed to fly for the United States military. They were legendary in World War II, because before they came in and started helping and protecting bombers in Europe, American bombers were being shot down at 33%. So one of every three bombers was going down. When they took over, the 332nd Fighter Pilot Unit, when they took over, no bomber was ever lost to enemy action. And it was a huge turn in history. And they are legendary. Now, if you've seen the movie Red Tails, because to make themselves look different, they painted the front of their planes and the back of their planes with red tips to make it obvious who they were and just help them stand out. A much better movie, if you want to see it, was HBO did it years ago, called the Tuskegee Airmen with Lawrence Fishburne and Cuba Gooding Jr. Great movie. Let's check it out. But that's what that reference there. I think that would be the ultimate hole-in-one move, that if the Redskins wanted to, you honor the military – You honor Black history. You get that racist name out of your team name. You make everyone happy. And anyone that gets mad at that team name, if you were mad at Kaepernick for the flag, this is honoring people who died under that flag. So I feel like this would be the ultimate you can't touch it move. And also, I think you'd have a surge in sales and merchandise pricing.
Absolutely.
That is a legendary group. So
now, Chris,
I think that's a move right there. As far as lift every voice and sing, now, Josh, I don't have that church background. I went to church, but my family wasn't as deep in the church as some others. But going
second generation preacher's kid, I'll claim it.
but going to Cheyne University, the first historically Black college university in all of the country.
Yes.
When you showed up on campus, you learned lift every voice and sing. You had, if you didn't know when you got there, you was going to learn it by the end of your freshman year. And especially being in the band, I had always known how to play the Star Spangled Banner since middle school. It was mandatory. It was something that we always had to do. I knew Lift Every Voice Sing, but I never knew how to play it. When I learned how to play it there, we played it at every single event. And it was a badge of honor to play it, especially when we were on the road. When our basketball team would go to another stadium, and if the band came with them, and we were playing in the stands, when we played Lift Every Voice and Sing before or after a game, every Black person, it hits you different because the song is very deep. It's rich. It talks about our past. It talks about everything we've gone through. It talks about how proud we are to be here, to be us, to be alive, and to honor our ancestors that went through everything they fought for, and through all of it, to honor God and trust God moving forward. It's a spiritual song. It's a powerful song. And it's a song that anytime I hear it, I clench up. I get chills. And part of me wants to cry. With the NFL doing this made me clap. I was literally at work and I like clapped and I realized I am around people. I have to stop.
Hey Chris, let me ask you this, because I've never heard the song. And so if I wanted to hear it now, and if any of our listeners want to hear it now, even for the first time, what do you recommend the version be, or so who do we hear?
The best version I have ever heard is from the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Their version, and it is because there are three verses, just like the Star Spangled Banner. There are three verses to the song, and usually the first is very strong and the first is very, like, you know, it comes in, it's light, it gets the point across. The second one is very strong. It's about marching forward, and then the third one is the spiritual one, and you feel just the pain, the joy, the sadness, and just the love of that song in all of it. And that version, the Boys Choir of Harlem version, Dean, I suggest YouTube it. You can find it right now. It is so powerful. I mean, I've there's times when I've listened to that song, I've cried because shadow beneath thy hand, where we forever stand, true to our God and true to our native land. I mean, it's just, oh my God, that song gets me every time. So, sorry, I just moved out on you guys about a song.
I got to co-sign that. I got to co-sign
cool.
it. 100%.
I will check it out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this much, as far as like groups go legendary around the world, Boys Choir of Harlem is one of the most legendary singing ensembles we've ever heard of. So yes, I totally co-sign with that. I got to add something else too about your comment about the Red Tails. Now I got to remind you that there's always the adage that when something makes too much sense, that it's the reason why it doesn't happen. And what you suggested with the Red Tails makes way too much sense, which is
way
why
too
I
much
exactly
sense.
Expect
yeah.
not to happen, because it makes too much sense and too many people win. So they'll screw it up. Calling that one now. They'll screw that up.
Well, we've given you guys a lot to think about. We're going to cut to a commercial break. When we come back, it's Fantasy Draft Fridays. You asked for Woo-hoo. It. We're delivering. It's part two of movies right after this. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, joined by Joshua Taylor and Dean Iampietro. Now, guys, it's Fantasy Draft Friday. Now, as I told everyone, last week we did sports movies, and it was really good. It was myself, Wesley Euler, and Tony Serino. I won. Ha-ha! But we had such a response of all the movies we didn't pick from all of our listeners that people requested us overwhelmingly to do a second version of this. So we are doing this with Dean and Josh. We're switching up some of the competitors. It's really just because Tony and Hunter on vacation. So I'm like, all right, well, you guys take a hike. But we got two great guys here. I've informed them of the rules. The movies we picked last week are off the board. So those movies include Remember the Titans, Caddyshack, Moneyball, Major League, Dodgeball, Uncut Gems, Hoosiers, White Man Can't Jump, Sandlot, Ali, Talladega Nights, The Wrestler, Space Jam, He Got Game, and Draft Day. And I'm pretty sure none of you would have picked Draft Day.
Anyway. Hell no.
No, indeed. No, indeed.
Listen, Tony likes
to do this. Uncut Gems for that matter.
See, I told Tony that as well. He thinks Uncut Gems is this great film. I'm like, listen, it was Adam Sandler being a jerk, which he is all the time. So, So, through my randomizer, we have determined the order. Dean, it's the first pick of the first round. We are doing five rounds as always. And then, of course, when you get the last pick of one round, you get the first pick of the next round. But we're going five rounds here, and it'll be the same. Remember, if as you're listening along, this poll will be up in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which you can find by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Just ask to join the group. We are over 650 strong right now. The poll will be up all the way through Sunday night at 7 p.m., and the winner will be announced on the Monday show for Locked On Steelers. So without further ado, we're going to let Dean kick us off. He got the first pick. Josh got the second pick. I got the third pick. Dean, lead us off of starting with the round two of sports movies. Who is your first overall pick?
With a first pick of the second movie draft, Dean, I am Petra selects the movie that was left off all of your lists that made me not want to vote for any of you last week. Slapshot.
Whoa! Yes. Also, I should say, I apologize for saying this. I just realized this now. Documentaries are a no. These have to be feature movies. They can be fictional or non-fictional, but pure documentaries like The Last Dance and 30 for 30s, those are off the list. These are all produced to be like pure entertainment movies. But Slapshot is a first overall pick from Dean. Going the hockey route, of course. I see you there. But interesting move there. Josh, you get the second pick.
Slapshot was on my big board, for the record.
Oh, even the big board.
It's on the big board. Chris, if you and anybody else that knows me knows I am a huge fan of college football. This is one of those movies that blends college football and just great overall ridiculous humor seamlessly. I have to go with...
No!
I know you're not too great with his performance in Uncut Gems, but I got to go with Adam Sandler in The Waterboy.
Oh,
high-quality H2O, and that is a high-quality movie. I'm taking The Waterboy.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere. Okay. Breathe. I'm okay with The Waterboy.
Hey, you want to talk about Adam Sandler and some of his finest work. That's all I'm saying.
True that. That is fair game. Huh. Well, I have to go with I get the next two picks here.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say, neither of those were my top picks for this round.
Dean took my top pick. Slapshot was my number one.
Sorry,
I won't even lie. Okay. All's fair.
I got to go with See, part of what I struggle with is my nostalgia and then everyone else's nostalgia of what people remember as their favorite sports movies, you know?
Right.
And so for me, I got to go with one. I think that everyone should love this movie. And I think it actually reads for all of our generations. It is legendary for what it did and for its music. But I got to pick it also because you guys know I'm the best around and no one's going to ever get me down because I'm going with Karate Kid. I got to get the Karate Kid. Danielson, wax on. It's like I'm waxing you guys in this contest.
In the first round, you're wax off?
That's a good pick. I mean,
language.
I wouldn't have gone first round, but it is a good choice, though. I got to go with at least the rationale. It's a good pick.
I mean, it was on my draft list. At like 13.
It wasn't at the top of the big board, but it was somewhere thereabout.
That's good. Wrong? All right.
What's wrong with you guys? All right. Next movie. Another classic. Football related.
Uh-oh.
It, It's you know, it's a movie that it involves football, but it's not all about football, but it's still a sports movie because of all the things that happen around it. And you guys know, you gotta show me the money. Oh, what's wrong with Jerry Maguire in the second round?
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Oh, that hurt.
That's doubly impressive because I was the kid that had a Show Me the Money t-shirt in high school when that movie came out. So, although a lot of people didn't take to it as kindly as I did. They thought it was kind of lame. But I loved it. It was my favorite shirt. So screw that.
Well, Josh, you have the next pick.
That hurts.
Yes, sir.
we've done football. We've even ventured into martial arts already. I am going to stick with football for my second round pick. I'm going with another football movie, another college football movie.
He's picking one.
This one was great because of the football story. It was great because of the underlying story. And I thought it was great because of the actors that were in this movie.
Oh, no, he's not going with one. Okay.
Some pretty big names in this movie. So I'm going to go with We Are Marshall.
Yep. That's
my second round pick.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's a legendary one. It's a sad one, but also a powerful one.
McConaughey, Ian McShane, Kate Mara, Anthony Mackie. You can't lose. The guy from Lost. I just forgot his name that quick.
He can't be that good.
No, he's that good. He's the one that pretty much every woman that watched that show loved him. And I can't think of his name right now. But he was the assistant coach. He was the one that survived. And I can't think of his name right now. He was also in a couple of different movies. But the cast in that movie is fantastic. The way they portrayed it was just amazing. Mm-hmm. So We Are Marshall. Plus a friend of mine, Jay Plattberg. Shout out to Jay. He was an extra in that movie as well because he was a student at Marshall when they shot it. So there you go.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I gotta say, We Are Marshall. You went with The Water Boy, and then you went with a movie that got us The Water Works. So good job there, John. Nice.
High quality H2O.
Yeah. Dean, you have the next two picks in the draft.
Jerry Maguire hurt. That hurt. I'm deeply wounded. And I'm struggling between two movies here. And I know I could pick them both, but I can't pick them both. And I think you'll know what I mean when I say which one I pick. It might be a little surprise in the second round. I'm going to go with Creed.
Whoa!
I had that on the list. That's a good movie.
I thought you guys would sleep on Creed, but good. Oh, all right.
On Creed. That was a great movie.
Michael B. Jordan should have been freaking nominated for every award under the sun. He was not. I thought that was robbery.
Absolutely. Now, you know, when you're trying to appeal to a hockey audience, you got to go full bore. In the third round, my selection is Miracle.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, Dean.
that is such a good movie, too.
Oh, near the top of my big board. Ooh. Kurt Russell in that movie was fantastic. Like, my two favorite parts of that movie, of course, the speech before the game against Russia, and then after they beat Russia, when he waves to his wife, he, like, walks under the rafters, and he can't even contain himself. He's just in the hallway, like, fist-pumping like nobody. It was incredible. That movie's so powerful, man. There's so many great moments in it. Miracle's fantastic. It's a great move.
Those are some clutch picks right there, Dean. You kicked off the third round there. Josh, it's back on you. You get your third round pick.
All right, I'm going to go with another movie that it's not as historically as strong as Miracle, but it is strong as far as the what's the word I'm looking for? Just the emotional aspect and the general overall story that it provides. And it's also a nice little shot to Chris because you could technically call it his namesake. But I'm going Coach Carter. Coach Carter, great basketball movie. Samuel L. Jackson, some really good actors in there too. Channing Tatum is in that movie that a lot of people probably don't notice.
Yeah.
Rock Brown, who was on recently, I believe he was on Blind Spot, but he was also in The Express. So there's some really good actors in that movie, and it's an awesome story too. So Coach Carter, my third round pick.
All right.
I would say a lot of people don't talk about Coach Carter. I felt like, so I was like, oh no, I'll be fine. Yeah, I'll be able to save that for later. No, you just get in the third round.
Chris, what is your greatest fear? What is your deepest fear?
My deepest fear that we are great beyond explanation. Come on, man. Come on, man. Don't get me that. All right. So now, I get my third and my fourth round picks here. Now, I have several different directions, because, but I know now Dean has already picked Creed. So that means Rocky's probably off the board for me. But will Josh want to pick Rocky? Because Rocky's a legendary movie that we did not select the first time around, and a lot of people were upset about that.
It was a tough choice for me between Rocky and Creed. Not going to lie. Tough choice.
Right. And I think – and that's the thing. Like, it's definitely – it's definitely legendary – especially for the boxing genre, it kicked off a whole lot. I have some personal favorites that, but I'm not so sure that they are the ones that everyone's going to jump all over. This is tough. I'm going to go with Rocky.
Okay.
I love me some classic. Some classic music and Getting Strong Now, or Flying High Now, you know,
Gotta fly now.
Thank you. I was messing up that name, but when that trumpet line comes in, you're ready to go and work. And there was one time I was in high school, we marched onto a stage playing that song, and like literally everyone knew what time it was. Like, it was time to get excited.
Nice.
So definitely appreciate the movie for the legend that it created. I mean, it kicked off the entire. I mean, also I don't like most Rocky movies, but Creed certainly brought it back. So definitely respect that. Now for my fourth round pick, there's some really good ones, man. There's some really good ones. I'm gonna go Homer on this one. I gotta go with 42. I gotta get Jackie Robinson off the board.
Good choice. Headland the big board. Good choice.
Yeah. Good of a movie. Chadwick Boseman, Harrison Ford. And I think there's a lot of recent sports movies that try to talk about race that I think missed the mark. Like, in fact, the movie Race that was about Jesse Owens, I thought it was horribly done. I thought it addressed a lot of the problems that Jesse Owens did face. And it kind of just, it glossed over a lot of things, and I felt like it missed so many marks. But 42, I felt like hit a lot of those marks, and it honored a lot of things about it. Soul of the Game, I think, is a much deeper movie than the Negro Leagues, but I'm not going to pick it because I don't think a lot of people have seen it, and they're going to be like, I don't know what that movie is, and I need votes. So vote for me.
Soul of the Game is a fantastic movie. I can't even argue with that. It was actually at the bottom of my list, and I kind of wrote it off for the same reason, because as great as it is, as great as Michael T. Williamson is as Josh Gibson, as great as Blair Underwood is as Jackie Robinson, it's fantastic, man, but a lot of people probably wouldn't appreciate it, because I think that was HBO that released it. So it wasn't like it was like a major budget.
Just like to see Airman. I mean, HBO's done, they've done some black stuff.
Some really good work,
Yeah, they've really hit it out of the park.
All right, Josh, your fourth round pick, Josh.
My fourth round pick, I got to stick with baseball here, because I think it's a wide open genre of sports movies. If you are a baseball fan and you have not cracked at least one joke from this movie, I have to ask you what is wrong with your soul. But one thing I will tell you, one piece of advice, Dean, Chris, you don't mess with the losing streak, or I should say you don't mess with the winning streak. I'm going with Bull Durham. I probably should have took it higher, because I think it's one of the classic baseball movies of all time.
I agree.
Kevin Costner, he's done a bunch of baseball movies, but this is probably the best. I think it's better than Field of Dreams. I don't care what they tell me. Me neither, honestly. But a young Tim Robbins and also a young Susan Sarandon that just really takes it up to another level. Bull Durham, but there's so much to love about it. I go Bull Durham.
All right. That's fair. Dean, you get to finish off the fourth round and pick your last pick, which is the kicking off the fifth round. Got some interesting picks here. You doubled up on hockey. You got Creed off the board, which I believe is our first boxing move. Was our first boxing pick in? Oh no, I picked Ali.
Yeah.
But you went with Creed. So you picked it up. Where are you going with your fourth pick?
Well, I like baseball. I do like baseball a lot. Uh-huh. And I just saw this movie again the other night. It was on television.
I think I know the exact movie you're talking about.
And it's a movie that they did reboot but they certainly could never reboot it the way they did it back then. And it's just hysterical. The Bad News Bears.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Nicely done.
Is that where you thought I was going, Chris?
No, I thought recently I saw Eight Men Out on TV.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Wonderful movie. Wonderful movie.
Yeah. Because funny you should mention that.
You're going, Dean, because that's a great pick, and it was at the top of my big board.
And my fifth pick. Round pick is Eight Men Out.
All right, there you go. That's a great legendary movie. It talks about one of the most bizarre times in baseball history.
Cusack was good. David Strathairn was good. Another movie full of outstanding actors, and it tells a great story about one of the most, if not the most infamous, event in baseball history, I think, especially for that time. Eight Men Out, man. I can't even argue with it. Usually around Christmas time, MLB shows are like on a 24-hour loop on MLB Network, and probably watch a good two or three go-rounds of it. So, yeah. Can't even argue. All right. Looks like back around to me for the fifth round. We've talked about baseball. We've done football. We've done hockey. We've done basketball. We've done boxing. But have we talked about Winter Olympic sports?
Dang it!
I don't think we have. Chris, I have a question.
Field of Rhythm!
Sanka, you're dead, man.
Nice.
Go on the ride. Get on up now. It's bobsled time. Shout out to my wife because this was her idea. Cool Runnings, my fifth round pick.
Cool Runnings!
I had it on the draft
Shout
board.
Out to Dougie Doug and Malik Yoba. Shout out.
Oh, I'm so mad at you. That was my steal.
Ooh. I miss you, dead man.
Thank you, you're dead man. Yeah. Man. You can go now. Too late. Oh my God. That movie. Cool Runnings. That's a legendary movie. All right, so for my final pick, I'm going to diversify myself here because Dean was getting on me for not picking any hockey movies before. And in my opinion, the greatest hockey movie ever made
was my first round pick.
No. No one remembers anything from Slapshot. All right?
Everybody remembers everything from Slapshot.
They were problematic it was too, but it was a great movie.
You know, in fact, many people were saying it this year about the Steelers, about a player that emerged for them. And you know the one word that everyone must say. It's quack. Quack, because we got the Mighty Ducks. How'd you leave me the Mighty Ducks? That's the greatest hockey movie ever. Coach
the greatest hockey movie of our generation, me and Chris.
The greatest hockey movie ever?
It's the greatest hockey movie. The Goldberg.
I wouldn't go there, but I will say it's the preeminent hockey movie of Chris and I's generation. I will give him that.
I'm sorry for your generation.
When this movie came out, I wanted to play hockey. Now, it obviously didn't take hold because I didn't play hockey. I was like, that place is cold. But
I can argue that the second one's better than the first one. We're not going to pull that branch right now. We're not going to pull that thread. But that's just me. That's all I'm saying.
See, the second one had better hockey action in it. But
right. I mean, you know. But Russ Tyler was in the second one. Knuckle Puck was in the second one. Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Right. And you had Keenan.
You had the Bash Brothers. You had Kenny Wood. I'm just saying.
I wish this was a video podcast.
But the story, like when I remembered it. I rewatched it as an adult when it came on Netflix, and I was like, "Ooh, this is rough." But the first Mighty Ducks, it to me, it encapsulates the Bad News Bears. Honorable mention for Little Giants, which we had to leave off our list here. But it's just as good as all of those. But to me, it always was special for. You know, just the way that they captured the hockey action in that, I thought that was really tight. And everybody knows the Flying V. Come on, man, legendary.
The Flying V is illegal, and it would be
whatever. Who cares? Like, about legality.
It's the reason why you don't pick Rudy. And Rudy was offside. It's the same.
Well, that's okay. And that kick that Ralph Macchio gave was an illegal blow to the face.
Absolutely, also illegal. Erroneous.
Erroneous. Yes. Get out of here. That's what I was going to say. Okay. But
Mighty Ducks. And you picked Rocky, and that one ended in a tie. So, you know, what are you picking here? What are you doing?
What am I picking here? Rocky was Rosa. It ended a tie, but it Rocky, he won the battle for himself and Adrian. And all.
I can make another case that Rocky 3 is the best of the lot, but once again, I'm going to leave it alone.
I'm just going to leave that there.
I did have Rocky 3 listed too.
I had Rocky 3 on my list. I'm just going to leave that there for everybody's consideration. Rocky 3 was better than the first one, and I'm going to back away.
I think you're right.
Story about that. My dad hated the Rocky movies. He liked one. He thought he was bogus. And then he told me he heard what the plot of the third one was before going to see it. So when he went into the movie theaters, he said it was packed, and all these people were like, "Get him, Rock! Yes!" So when he's fighting Clubber Lang, people like they're so excited because they think that he's actually going to win the fight, and he starts getting his butt kicked, and he's getting knocked around, and Clubber Lang is on his neck. And my dad said the whole theater got silent. So he just stood up, and he was like, "Yeah, give it to him, Mr. T." And then when Rocky loses, he says, "Oh, that was a great movie." He gets up to leave, and people are saying, "Hey, buddy, sit down. The movie's not over." He's like, "Hey," and he walked up.
Nice.
Wow.
I wish I had the fortitude and the pettiness to troll people that hard in a movie theater. But that's all-time impressive.
That is fantastic. I love that.
I accidentally actually audibly cheered when Bambi's mom got shot in the theater.
What? Oh,
that's, yeah. That's I did dark. Do that. I was you just like, yeah.
My girl.
I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, that is dark.
That was dark.
Okay, my girlfriend is the person that during Avengers Endgame, She thought that Thanos actually had the stones when he snapped. And she was like, yes! And then she was like, oh, wait. She wanted everyone in the universe to die. That's how bad she was. But the worst my girlfriend ever did when it came to watching movies, and I love you to death, honey, but we're watching Ted, and we're with a bunch of friends. And, you know, it's Ted. It's stupid. It's meant to be stupid. And this bear is adorable and also kind of weird, but it's making jokes the whole movie. She hasn't laughed at a single joke the entire movie. Now, the rest of the theater is dying. We're all cackling. So then at the end of the movie, when he's running from, like, the weird stalker guy and he's climbing up the thing, and then the guy, like, rips his fur off, like, and his stuffing starts to fall out, and then he's falling, and everyone in the theater is just so sad and just, like, silent. And here's my girlfriend. Ah! Like dying of laughter, and then everyone looks at her. She's like, "It's a stupid bear."
I'm starting to think that the story surrounding the movies might be better than the actual movie picks we just made. Well, maybe it's just me because these are some interesting stories.
So sorry for the tangent, guys. Taking us off topic. To review our picks here for the second series of sports movies, Dean's picks were Slapshot, Creed, Miracle, Bad News Bears, and 8 Men Out. Josh's picks were Waterboy, We Are Marshall, Coach Carter, Bull Durham, and Cool Runnings. My picks were Karate Kid, Jerry Maguire, Rocky, 42, and Mighty Ducks. Now, we all made our picks. You all can decide who won today by going to the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. Just go on Facebook, search for Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as I can. And when you're in there, this poll will be up from Friday morning until Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can get your vote in and see who won, and then we'll adjust it. Dean is going to be representing Tony in the standings. Josh is going to be representing Hunter in the standings because they've been the two most consistent. So, like, that's the divisions and everything we have right here. So whoever wins, the points will go to them in the standings. Right now, I have a narrow lead over Tony for first, and Hunter's falling behind, but maybe Josh will change that up.
Oh, you're going to lose that lead this week.
Yeah, what?
With Tony.
Listen, so that's again, you can go on Locked On Steelers, or go on the Locked On Steelers Facebook group to vote. It'll be all over through the weekend. Hope you guys are going to have a great 4th of July. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being on the show. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
I love doing this show. You know that. So it's always a good time.
Absolutely. It's fun. Dean, if people want to find more yous out there on the interwebs, where can they find you?
I do have Twitter. I have a screaming 100 followers on it. It's awesome. It's I am Dean16 because I started it in 2016, and I'm already up to 100 followers. I'm motoring.
Give my man Dean a follow. If you follow me at Carter Critiques, you follow him at IamDean16. Give my man Dean a follow. He's actually pretty hilarious. We joke with each other a lot on the side. Josh, thanks so much for you coming on. Let people know where they can find more of you.
First off, shout out to Dean for feeling the rhythm and feeling the rhyme with Dean16. I love that.
Thank you.
You can find me on pretty much any platform at JoshTaylorHD. That is Twitter. That is Facebook. That is Instagram. And that's how we get down. By the way, Three River Stadium, A Confluence of Champions, has already been available on Amazon. It is now available in your local Barnes & Noble, which I don't know if it's open yet. But if you can get in there, make sure you wear a mask and go buy Three River Stadium, A Confluence of Champions.
Nice. It's a great book. Thanks, Josh. Thanks, Dean, for joining the show. If you're enjoying the Locked On Steelers podcast, please like and subscribe to the podcast. We are on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are hosted. Also, if you're enjoying the show a lot, please leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment. Doing so will help us get the word out, and move up the rankings with sports podcasts out there. Thanks to so much all those who have done it already. Thanks to those who are in the Facebook group. Follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Guys, everyone, have a happy 4th of July. Enjoy your weekend. Spend it with some friends or some loved ones. Stay safe. Wear your masks. I will be back in your ears on Monday for the Locked On Steelers podcast.